Don't everybody look at me disappointed that you have to listen to me. It's good to see everybody out this morning. Hope that everybody's doing well. It's always a blessing to be here. We do have some visitors here, but not a visiting preacher. It's always wonderful to be with brother and sister in Christ, and I'm happy to be home. I hope that everybody is doing well and everybody's been uplifted as we went throughout our service so far. I want to encourage everybody, open up your Bibles and go through the lesson with me as we look to the Word of God and studying it today. If you want to open up your Bibles and start with me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This morning, I'm going to go forth and talk about the armor of God through Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts, wickedness, and in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking a shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Many different ways in which we sometimes go about and using these verses as we go through and teaching about the armor of God. We'll talk about armor and just maybe talk about the applications of what armor is supposed to do. We can go through and use these verses to point out that we are going to have to fight, that we do have a spiritual battle going on, and that Satan's there to come forth and to attack us. I'm going to talk about this morning how that armor of God points to Christ, points to our Lord and Savior and our God, and how they are the ones, how Christ is the one that is going to give us the strength we need in order to keep on fighting. As we might go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 and look there where it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." Paul declaring that he can overcome these temptations, that he can learn to be content with all that God has blessed him with, or all that God has taken away from him as he lives his life upon this earth. And that mindset that Job had, that you know the Lord gave, the Lord can take it away. He came in with nothing, that you leave with nothing. And so Paul certainly lived that lifestyle as he obeyed the gospel and followed Christ, that he continued to do all things through Christ. And that's what I believe this armor of God is pointing out to. As we read through there and we talk about girding our waist and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, shodding our feet, putting on the carrying your shield, carrying your sword, that and all the things that it points us to the Word of God, which the Word of God continuously points us to Christ. And that's what I want to do this morning. See how all these things comes back to us saying that I can do all things through Christ. That we need to go to Peter and see that we need to follow in his footsteps. So again, I ask that you open up your Bibles as we go through and look at the different things we need to be doing and following Christ. And so the first point would be is girding our waist with truth and making sure that we are following in truth. And so John chapter 8, verse 32, if you could open up your Bibles. John chapter 8, and in verse 32. John 8, 32. Here, reading and saying, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And so here's how important the truth is. The truth is what sets us free. Free from what? Free from sin. As we study through the Word of God, it tells us we are slaves or servants of who we serve, who we obey. So if we obey unrighteousness, we obey the lust of the flesh, and we obey what the world is doing, then that's who we serve. And so the truth can set us free from that because we obey the Word of God. We are baptized into Christ. He sets us free from sin. He washes our sins away. And so John chapter 1 In verse 17, John chapter 1 and verse 17, here it tells us, it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And so when we start to put truth on, we are putting Christ on. We are putting Christ on, as Paul made point, that he is to put on Christ. Everything he does is Christ. To live is Christ. And so we put on Christ when we put on truth. We have to be willing to search the Scriptures and abide in what he has given us. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and in verse 6. John 14 verse 6, it says, "Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me." Again, and so if we are going to be servants of God, we're going to be soldiers of Christ, as we might more look at it since we're talking about the armor of God, soldiers of Christ, then we are going to put on truth. We're going to walk in truth. We're going to know the truth. We are going to search the Scriptures, and we're going to find Christ, and we're going to follow him. Next would be putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Again, all these things are necessary for those who were going into battle at this time. This is how they prepared for war. This is how they prepared for battle. This is how they protected them. Today, again, they still wear helmets, and they still wear a bulletproof vest. And so, you know, breastplate of righteousness, this is that bulletproof vest that we can relate to more as we talk about soldiers today. And so you got to make sure that you're able to withstand a fire to your chest and be able to survive. And so this is your best chances. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, here says, "Even the righteousness of God through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." Again, so here, what is that righteousness through? The righteousness of God through faith in Christ. That righteousness is in the Lord. As we talk about in Bible class, you know, it's brought out as we talk about that ark of God and how holy it is, how holy God is, how righteous they are, Christ is, how righteous God is, and the Holy Spirit, how they are complete and holy and faithful, and never sinned the whole life he lived upon this earth. And so when we talk about righteousness, we're talking about righteousness in Christ, righteousness through Christ. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11, Philippians 1 verse 11 here says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness," which are what? "Which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." So even as we talk about putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we're talking about going to Christ, going to the Lord, going and seeing how he lived his life, how he was righteous, and how we can follow in his righteousness. So all things, again, they continue to point us to our Lord and Savior. And then we come over here and we shod our feet. We prepare our feet in order to go out and to spread the word of God, to go out and make sure that we're ready to fight and follow in battle, that you don't have to worry about stepping on the wrong stuff and hurting your feet or them firing an arrow. You're prepared. You have to shod your feet. Matthew chapter 11, and it says, "Of the gospel of peace." And so again, Jesus wants to give us peace. Jesus is there to give us rest. Matthew 11 and verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about Christ. When we talk about the Bible, we're talking about Christ. Because when we talk about the beginning, we talk about all things created, and we'll look at this verse here in a bit, John chapter 1 and verse 1, and talking about Jesus being there in the beginning. When we go forth and we study the Old Testament, we read through Abraham, and we go to Isaac, and then we go to Jacob, and we talk about Moses, and we talk about all the things that they had taught, all the things that they had prepared the children of Israel for. Read the genealogy. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Go to Luke and read about the genealogy and list all those people that we study in the Old Testament. And what does it do? Leads us to Christ. And then we study the New Testament, and it refers to the Old Testament and the New Testament and the commands that it gives us. What's it do? Points us to Christ. Studying David. We go to Acts chapter 2, and it's going to talk about David.
and his throne and how God made that promise. We're about to get to those points that God continues to promise that his seed will be blessed. And he talks about his actual son, but also further on how all nations will be blessed through his seed, all through Christ. And when we open up the Bible, we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we go through all the way to Revelation, and we study the gospel of God. It's all to point us to our Lord and how he had died for us and how he is there still leading us to heaven, preparing us. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, John chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world.'" Again, so it's not just the gospel that we read, but what kind of gospel? Of peace. Because our sins are forgiven through Jesus. Again, we're going to talk about that here in a bit, about salvation. That peace that we have, knowing that he has prepared it. In John chapter 14, "I go to make you a home, a room, a mansion in heaven." Does that not give us peace? Does that not give us hope? Does that not help comfort us? God saying that, "I say I forgive your sins, I will remember them," nor does that not give you peace? Knowing that he does not remember the sin you committed yesterday, a year ago, when you were young. Because you have obeyed the gospel. Because you come to Jesus and allow his blood to wash your sins away. Because when you sin again after that, then you can go to God in prayer and pray for your forgiveness. And now you know that you've prayed to him that you may be forgiven. Now you have to get up, repent of those sins, and put on the armor of God to withstand that temptation again. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16 here says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, of the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" Again, here, the gospel of Christ unto salvation. It all leads us back to Jesus. Again, as we go through these points, it shows that when he reads this and he writes this in Ephesians, he's saying, put on Christ. Follow in the footsteps of Christ. Believe in the Lord. Again, he's the only way, the shield of faith. Be able to hold up and protect us from the fiery darts that are being shot at us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and reading verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Our faith in Jesus. Our faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, faith is the victory, our song in our hymn books. Simply said, simply stated there, our shield is our faith in Jesus. Our belief and full trust in our Lord, that he truly is the Son of God, that he truly did die for your sins, that he was resurrected, and that he lives today. He ascended to heaven, and he will return. Our faith in Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 24, understand, without our faith in Christ, where are we? John 8, verse 24 tells us here, it says, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Again, that's why we can go to Mark 16, 16, where it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." The reason he doesn't have to go forth and say, "He that is not, does not believe and is not baptized shall be saved." Because if one is baptized, one is immersed in the water, and they do not believe, they do not have faith in what they are doing, that this is because what Jesus has said, what the Word of God has said, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die for you, then that does nothing for you. It's simply going to 1 Peter 3. And there, looking at verse 21, telling us there is that, you know, baptism does now say not not the putting away of filth of the flesh, right? Not just taking a shower, not just going in and washing off our flesh, but rather it's about our faith, one who believes in Christ, and you're washing off sin. And God's the one that's going to wash it away.
If without faith, we will die in our sins. Without believing in our Lord and Savior. John 3 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. To Mark 16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me quote the right scripture there. But we have to have faith. That is our shield. And then we need to carry our sword. We need to make sure we are ready to go on the offense, ready to fight. But again, that's not done by our own willpower. That's done through our Lord and Savior. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, 17, here making it known that God has truly given us everything we need in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. And so here we see that the Word of God, the sword that God has given us, is ready to go out and do everything we need. And yes, as it's brought out, which is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one that guided the men to write these things as we go to the book of Peter. And look and read and see there that everything that they spoke, everything that they wrote, was while they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost told them to write these things down, But then you go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past through the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Here it brings out Jesus. God spoke in times past, but now speaks to us through the Lord. And the Lord spoke, and He passed those things on as you get into chapter 2. Verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. What have they done? They've heard these things, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken to us through angels grew steadfast, and every transgression disobedient received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard? So again, it was spoken by Jesus. And the Spirit guided the men to write these things down for us. So it is the words of Christ. It's what He has given to us. It's what He had told them. The Holy Spirit reminded them to write for us. And as we go to John chapter 1, verse 1, as I said we would. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The armor of God points us to Christ. As you read through there, and we're trying to figure out, all right, how do I do this? How do I put on the armor of God? How do I put on the spiritual armor to prepare me to go out from day to day, from Monday to Wednesday before we can come back and be built up again with our brethren, and from Thursday to Friday, Saturday, and until we can come back Sunday and be built up once more from our brethren. How do we survive throughout the week? We put on the armor of God, which means we put on Christ. We be ready to go forward and fight the good fight by following in the footsteps of our Lord. And as we pray, as you go back to Ephesians, then it talks about praying. Again, yes, we are praying to the Father up above, but we know that we pray through Christ, our one and only mediator. We pray through the Lord, praying always. Again, so we go through Christ to gain our strength. We go through Christ to put on the armor so that we can be ready to fight the good battle, so we're ready to give an answer. Let us always have Christ on. Let us always be prepared. In season, out of season, let us be ready to give a defense, a hope, answer for our hope. And the only way to do that is by going to Christ. And so I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. If you're here this morning and you have not become a soldier of Christ yet, how you choose to become a soldier in Christ is by coming forward and confessing that faith, saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and being baptized into Christ. It comes back to that faith and your willingness to obey, that strength, courage, bravery to make that statement, to come forward, and God will add you to His kingdom. He will add you to His church. He will add you to His army. If you're here and you've already obeyed the gospel, but your armor has grown weak, it's taken a few hits, it needs to be fixed, it needs to be helped. Maybe you haven't learned how to use it well. Mm-hmm. Go back to the story of David, right? David comes in, he says, I've not tested these things out. So, he wasn't going to go use them because he didn't know how heavy it was on one side or the other for the sword. So he didn't know how he should swing it or how heavy the shield was or how much energy he was going to waste to pull that up. So I haven't tested these things. But over time, we know he became a man of war. He learned how to use certain means, given certain things. He was able to take the sword of Goliath. We can assist you by studying the Word of God to learn how to use His Word, how we should apply Christ in our lives so that we can overcome these temptations. And through prayer to God, through Christ, we can grow strong. So if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand and sing.